Welcome to the Seven Figure Leaders podcast. This podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners, and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. And there you'll find the link to apply.
Welcome. And today we've got Liam Corcoran, a coach for tech businesses doing about 1 to 10 million in annual recurring revenue. And I'll let you introduce yourself, Liam.
Thanks very much. So I'm Liam Corcoran. I help founders of 1 to 10 million businesses, mainly in AI, Web3, and SaaS. So I help them to scale without burning out. And I use a framework which is called Clarity OS. So what it does is it gives their founders rhythm, structure, and profit so they can stop being the bottleneck within their business and start running their business as a system. But I also invest in and acquire businesses as well. And I sit on boards as a non-exec. So really, I'm just not talking theory. I'm working inside these businesses day to day, fixing the same problems and helping my client be able to solve those challenges and overcome them.
Okay, great. So why don't we dive into kind of your background and how you got here?
Yeah, sure. So back in 2005, I founded my own business, a tech business that was very early in its stage of development. I was able to grow that over a period of 5 years before I successfully sold that. And then I went into very different corporate entities, running revenue for global businesses like Dynata, which is a first-party data business, and then ByteDance, which owns apps like TikTok and CapCut, etc. I think what I saw was that it didn't really matter whether it was a $60 billion company or a $300 million company or a £1 million founder. The problems were very much the same. Some of these businesses had no rhythm, no clarity, no focus. And that's why I started out coaching, was really to bring that kind of big company discipline into founder-led businesses. And I do that as well alongside the ones that I invest in and acquire, even my own e-commerce store as well. So I'm constantly kind of looking at how I can solve the same problems in my own ventures that I'm helping to solve within the businesses that I coach as well.
Okay, so you've got a lot going on there and a lot of experience that we can dive into. So what would you say, what are the main problems? And you said that they're kind of the same with the big companies that you worked with and the small ones. So what are those problems?
I think the problems really are, is one is certainly a founder level. If you're early stage business, if you're pre 1 million or if you're post 1 million, it's very much the founder, the CEO being the bottleneck. So every decision having to go through that individual's. So that really stops momentum and stifles decision-making amongst others within the business. I think it is bad hires. One thing that I've really learned is about you have to be really, it's really crucial on the types of people that you hire into your business based on the stage of business that it's at. And don't rush into those hires. One of the biggest challenges that I had at ByteDance was we had to hire aggressively, but it meant that I ended up bringing the wrong people into the business, and that causes more problems, more delays, and more issues that you need to solve. Certainly at early stage businesses, it's about cash crunches. So really understanding, your cash flow, being able to manage your business, understand your economics, and not just focus on revenue. And even in one of my own businesses, we nearly stalled because ad spend was unprofitable. And until we kind of rebuilt our funnels, it then enabled us to become profitable and be able to manage our cash flow more effectively. But certainly at those stages of businesses, if you're not managing your cash, if you're not really looking at the types of people that you're bringing into the business, and you're not letting go of the bottlenecks, you know, through this coming through you personally, then that's where a lot of the challenges I see in the businesses that I coach today.
That's really interesting. And obviously you focused on the finances quite a bit there, which is my sort of area. Sounds like you've been watching my content. So have you always kept a close eye on the finances? Has that been something you've never neglected, or have you sort of learned from mistakes there?
Yeah, I've learned from mistakes. You know, like I said, with our e-commerce store, because we were trying to get customers coming in the door, we were putting more money into ads. And then we realized that actually we had to spend more time on retention. So looking at how we retain more of our customers. And actually one of the things that we did was we introduced a kind of 3-month subscription minimum. So that retention doubled, cash flow became predictable, and suddenly the business wasn't living month to month. So that was kind of, that's the critical thing. And then I have another founder that I'm working with at the moment that has their P&L, but they don't have a cash flow forecast. They don't know, they can't forecast how their revenue is going to be over the next 12 months. Mm. You know, they've got quarterly payment terms for some customers. They've got monthly payment terms for other customers. So for some months they're going into losses because they're not getting the revenue in quick enough. And then suddenly every quarter they get a big bump of money. But it's not predictable enough. So that's where they kind of really struggle. And the biggest thing is trying to get that cash flow forecast into their business so they can start to track and monitor their cash and make better decisions over time based on the cash that they have coming into their business.
Absolutely. Yeah. And do you use a piece of software with them to help them do that? Or do you keep it simple and use an Excel spreadsheet?
No, I keep it simple. Excel spreadsheet. I know there's a lot of tools out there nowadays. So to the accounting software products that are out there, you can start to build out your own cash flow forecast, knowing what money is in the bank at the start of the month and what is in the bank at the end of the month, and being able to track your spend across the course of that month. So I know there is software out there, but I do like to kind of keep it simple to start with.
I'm actually the same as you with most of my clients. There's no point using a fancy software if the data that it's feeding from is not entirely up to date. So I tend to keep it quite simple as well. And what it also does when you keep it manual is it forces the business owner to look at the numbers rather than just looking at the output and assuming the output's correct.
I think that's a very good point, because a lot of these systems mean that, you know, it's they can easily forget it and not keep an eye on it. But if you're doing it manually, then it means you have an understanding of exactly what is coming into the business and what is going out. So you can track it, and then you can start to review and see, are these critical spends for our business? Like, am I spending too much on tech products, you know, on subscriptions that are actually adding no value and driving money to the bottom line?
Exactly. So let's dive into another problem or two that you tend to focus on with your clients. So let's focus on, say, the 1 to 10 million range.
Yeah.
You mentioned a few of kind of the problems that they face. And like, what do you do to help them, let's say, get out of their own way or to make better hires? Are they typically on kind of the journey towards an exit, or are they just trying to grow and scale their business and the exit's not really in sight?
Yeah, I think, you know, so the problems that I solve for them really is that founders become like the bottleneck. So every decision runs through them. So one is about building a structure around them that means that decisions can be made by the leadership team within their business. But to do that, you really need to understand, you know, what their clear purpose is, what they're trying to achieve, how they add value, and what problem they're trying to solve for the customers that they are serving. It's then about, you know, understanding what is the structure they need to have in that business, you know, the right people within the right roles that have the knowledge and experience to make the decisions based on, you know, the purpose that they're trying to achieve, but also the feedback that they're getting from their customers as well. Sometimes the great products stall because there's no commercialization engine. You know, the tech companies, they built great products, but they don't necessarily know how to then commercialize those products. So it is about, you know, helping them to be able to clearly define, you know, what problem that product is aiming to solve, you know, how it adds value, you know, who they're aiming to reach, and by getting that kind of clear messaging out there and then building that kind of top of the funnel rhythm so that you've got, they're targeting the right customers with the right messaging, getting right people into the funnel. They can start to really analyze, are these the right types of customers that I can serve, so they can have good quality leads coming in, which they then convert into customers. So it is about building that rhythm, trying to build that kind of discipline within the business, start to having that structure, having the right processes in place, which means that when the founder starts to remove themselves from that business, you know, it starts to run as it's meant to. You know, they're no longer having to be in the day-to-day, and they could focus mainly on the strategy and the future direction of the business.
Definitely. And so you're helping them on that scale-up phase. And then do you help on the exit side of things as well?
Yeah, on the exit. So through another business that I run, Aquarix Ventures, we help companies be able to get investments, so to move up the various stages of business. So they might have got to 1 million, they might go to 5 million, but they're looking for their next tranche of investment. And we've got a network of various different investors that are looking for these types of businesses to invest in. And we help them, we help to position them in the most effective way to get access to that investment. And then at the other stage is, okay, they've got to that point, you know, they've got their business, say, to 10 million, for example. You know, it's extremely profitable. It's running smoothly. They've got the right people in place. And now they're either looking for three things: is, can I exit it? Am I looking to emerge? Or am I looking to acquire other businesses? And we help them at that stage to be able to understand what is the right direction for them to go in based on what they want as an individual, but also what's in the best interest of the business as well.
Definitely. Yeah. And that's probably where we overlap a bit as well. So, and when they're at that stage, you help them get ready for exit, presumably, and then help them actually go through the exit itself.
Yeah. So we try and, I try and help them to make themselves, position themselves in the best possible light.
Yeah.
You know, you're having to sell your business. So you want, you know, it's no different than selling a house. You know, you make the house look as presentable as you possibly can to get the highest value, get the highest offer coming in for it. So you want to be able to demonstrate, you know, the value and the potential that the business has. But every founder, every CEO of a business, every shareholder or investor within that business, they want different things. So it's really trying to understand exactly what is the best path for them to go down based on what they want. And then trying to, because you don't know what the decision, any decision, it could be we take more investment, we could sell it, we could merge, we could acquire, but, and all of those decisions could go wrong, or they could be the best decisions for the business. You just don't know. But it's making sure that they're clear on exactly what they want to achieve and trying to drive them down that path and get them the best result possible.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any examples of any decisions you've made that didn't turn out to be quite good for yourself that you learned from?
I think from a personal perspective, I think ByteDance, when I worked at ByteDance, because it was such a fast moving business, and I went into that business where it's obviously Chinese owned, it has a different culture, a different way of working from, say, a traditional US business. The biggest challenge there was, like I was talking earlier about, is hiring aggressively. So some of the mistakes that I made very much in the early days were just trying to achieve a number of people within the business rather than bringing the right people into the business. And that's where I soon learned that it wasn't just about looking at CVs, but really truly delving into the individual and understanding their characteristics. Do they have the right characteristics to be able to work at this pace of organization, this type of organization, and to be able to execute and to achieve the results that we're looking to achieve? I think the other challenge is because at that stage it was launching 9 different products all at the same time. So it's, you know, Chinese model is throw as many products into the market, see which sticks. Those that start to generate initial revenue, double down on them, and then put resources behind them. So it's really then deciding which of those products are the best products that you could be launching into the market, because you had a whole host of different products that you could be taking to market. But what do you think has got the best chance to be able to work and generate the revenue that was required? So that was a huge challenge in making that decision, because there are products that you left on the shelf that you didn't put into the market that actually now are doing a lot better than some of the products that I put into the market. So, but that's, you know, sometimes you just have to test and learn and refine and review what you do all the time and make sure that you're constantly analyzing the way you work, what you're trying to achieve. But if you do have to make decisions, make them quickly and don't dwell on making a decision or refuse to make a decision. And then it's just about how, I think in organizations like that, it's really how you manage up and how you communicate effectively amongst investors, shareholders, senior leadership teams, so that it gives you the time and the space to be able to achieve what you need to achieve in your own role.
Yeah, that's you said a lot of interesting things there. The one that stood out was making decisions quickly.
Yeah.
That can cause significant drag to everyone around you, can't it?
Yeah, that's what I see in a lot of businesses today, is that they allow the decisions to cripple them within their own business. What I tend to say is, a lot of CEOs, founders, they have a gut feel. That's great, and you should go with your gut feel. But the key thing is then to back it up with data, and which is why data is critical to any business, because the data will pretty much tell you where the problems are, where the bottlenecks are within the business, and what is a priority that you need to solve, you know, first. So for example, you know, if your customers are churning at a high rate, you know, the data will tell you that, and that's a thing that you need to focus more of your time and attention on. So it's good to go with your gut feel, but back it up with data, because you should have an idea within your business. Okay, this is going wrong. I've got a feeling this is going wrong, and the data is telling me it's going wrong. Then it enables you to make better decisions, but more effective decisions. But it also means is that don't sit on those decisions, actually make them. And if it's wrong, it's wrong, but at least you've made it, at least you've learned from it. And then you can analyze it again and then make another decision, which hopefully drives you in the direction, you know, for a more successful outcome.
Absolutely. And so what are your plans for, let's say, the next year and next few years, really? Are you looking to get more clients in that 1 to 10 million space that you can support?
Yeah. So I think that 1 to 10 million is my sweet spot, because it's building those foundations. And it's getting the systems and processes and the rhythms in place that enable these founders to be able to scale past that revenue number and beyond. So really, I'm scaling my Clarity OS framework, so to reach more founders who want to grow and not losing their life in the process. With acquiring ventures, we're buying and investing in businesses in that same range. So usually where the founders have hit the ceiling and want to step back, or you know, they have built the business for the last 30 years and now want to retire, but there's no succession plan in place. And then really just keep building my own portfolio. But the bigger plan is to really help thousands of, or hundreds of founders really scale with Clarity, Rhythm and Profit.
And the Clarity OS thing that you mentioned, is that your IP or is that another one that you've
got? Yes, it's my IP. So it's really putting together all of the aspects that I have learned, that I have experienced across my 20 years of building and scaling companies, whether it's my own business, whether it's within, you know, scaling startups within corporate entities. I kind of call those kind of quasi startups, because you have all the freedom and flexibility around hiring, sales, product, etc. But when it comes to HR, legal, and finance, obviously there's red tape and you're reporting into the corporate structure. But you still see those as startup businesses, because you're still going to the CFO, the CEO, the big corporations, and asking for investments. So they behave very much like an investor. So what I've done is I've built Clarity OS really around all of the key areas that I feel are critical in helping to scale and to grow the businesses that I've been involved in, but also other people's businesses that they're trying to launch and grow at the same time.
Brilliant. And you work with clients on a kind of ongoing monthly engagement. You meet with them once, twice a month or whatever.
Yeah, so it really depends on where they are within their business. So, for example, I have clients at the moment that I work on a monthly basis. So that's a monthly rolling contract, as long as I'm still delivering value and outcomes. Other clients, I might go in on a six-month basis because there's lots of work that needs to be done to get them to a stage where that gives them that foundation where they can go into phase two around scaling and starting to really drive the business forward. So it really depends on what the needs and requirements are of that business. And then we can tailor it accordingly to meet those needs and hopefully, like I said, provide the value and the outcome that they're looking for.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. And so for anyone who wants to get in touch with you, who's heard you talking today and thinks, yeah, I'm a tech business owner in that category, I need Liam's help, best way to contact you, we'll put your LinkedIn profile in the show notes. Anything else you want to kind of give away or anything like that?
Yeah, so they can connect with me on LinkedIn or they can message me at liam.corcoran@acquirexventures.com. And provide that email address as well so that I have access to it. So really, you know, I just want to meet ambitious founders in AI, Web3 or SaaS businesses who, you know, hit a ceiling, know they need clarity and rhythm to scale. And also, you know, I want to meet investors who want operator partners who can actually grow portfolio companies and not just fund them.
Brilliant. Okay, Liam, well, pleasure to have you on as a guest. Thank you for sharing all of those insights. And for anyone who's listened to this and wants to get in touch with Liam, by all means do so.
Thanks very much. Cheers, Tom.
Thanks for listening. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, this podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. On that page, you'll find the link to apply.